from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, from whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. What does it mean to be great? Every day of our lives, we are given options of people and things and events that are trying to convince us that they are great. Sometimes greatness can be hard to define. Sometimes great can mean many things. And sometimes we might even disagree about who is really great. Is greatness the person who has accomplished the most? Is greatness somebody who accomplished less but overcame much adversity to get where they are? Is greatness even measurable? What does it mean to be great? Is our God great? What does it mean to be great? We'd all probably agree that the answer to the question, is our God great, is yes. But what does it mean to have a great God? What does it mean for us today? This passage that we've been reading from Hebrews this evening serves to remind us that we serve and worship and follow a great God, that our God is powerful, and that Jesus is God, that Jesus, he's more than a man, he's our Savior and our Lord. The beginning of the passage, it tells us about Jesus that he's the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. Jesus is the reflection of God's glory, the imprint of God. Jesus sustains things by his words, and Jesus purifies us from sin. And all this is just as important as for us today as it was for the people who originally heard the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is one of those books in our Bible that has a lot of unanswered questions. We aren't really sure who wrote it or who it was written to, or even if it was actually a letter or more of a sermon that was copied down and kind of traveled around to different churches. But one thing we do know is that the people who first heard the message of this book were at least second generation Christians, if not third or fourth generation Christians, meaning that nobody who's reading this was alive when Jesus was around. Nobody witnessed the miracles firsthand. Nobody heard Jesus speak teachings for themselves. Nobody witnessed the crucifixion. Nobody saw Jesus in resurrected form. They're probably far enough removed that They don't even have a single saint in their church that was old enough to remember the trials and the successes of the early church we read about in the book of Acts. And so whoever the writer of Hebrews is wanted to teach them and remind them how great Jesus is, which can be hard for these people to understand since they, like us, didn't get to witness any of it firsthand. So the writer is telling the people in us today, don't forget how great Jesus is. Don't forget his gift of grace. Don't forget that he is your Savior. We aren't worshiping angels or other humans. We're worshiping a great God, a God who overcame sin and death to give us the hope for eternal life. An important reminder, really, especially as we look around at our world. Our worlds and our individual lives can often have feelings of being overwhelmingly broken and messed up, filled with pain and grief and evil that we don't know where to turn to or have any idea how we'll figure out these things on our own. We may even begin to look around and wonder where the greatness of Jesus is in our world and in our lives. Do we really have a God who is great by being above us? A God that might seem distant from us today. After all, like the people hearing the book of Hebrews first, we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh either. We didn't witness the miracles. We didn't hear the teachings. And so maybe some of our passion is gone as well. But we can't really miss the passion that's in our scripture, because this passage from Hebrews does not make the greatness of God out to be something that's only far away. Something out there, something that has nothing to do with our own lives and our own world. Because Hebrew tells us that God is great, because that Jesus is great, because he is both all-powerful, mighty, and overall. But at the same time, Jesus is great because he is near, here, intimately involved in our lives. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is great because he was willing to leave the greatness of heaven and live in our world. Jesus is great because he healed, he taught, he died, and he was resurrected. This is greatness for the people hearing Hebrews. And this is greatness for us. Greatness for Jesus is being a part of our world and a part of our lives. This passage from Hebrews, it tells us that for the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. We're sanctified or made holy or brought into relationship with God through Christ. And Jesus and you and me and Christians throughout the world, we have the same Father. We're all brothers and sisters. Our God is here. Our God is personal. Our God is a part of our lives. In our sin, in our hurt, in our joy, in our brokenness. And everything, God is there. Just a few weeks ago, my mom let me know that my junior high Sunday school teacher had passed away. Mr. Cubison, my junior high Sunday school teacher, had taught junior high Sunday school at the church I grew up in for over 30 years. That should immediately tell you how devoted of a Christian man he was. Most every week, for over 30 years, Mr. Cubison spent an hour with a group of 12, 13, and 14 years old. Most of us didn't even want to be there at all. We sat around the table listening to his lesson, participating only when necessary, as junior high kids do. In general, my Sunday school class growing up wasn't well-behaved at all. There were a lot of boys. Several lived with one couple who ran a foster care group home for boys who had been in trouble. There was this one boy, Terrence, who came to live with them much younger than most of the other boys did. So by junior high, Terrence had been in my Sunday school class for 5 or 6 years. Around this time, Terrence started getting in a lot of trouble, and he was eventually sent to juvenile detention for a much longer stay. The day the other boys from the group home came to Sunday school and shared that Terrence wouldn't be coming back, Mr. Cubison didn't do whatever lesson he had planned. Instead, we talked about what happened with Terrence, and then we prayed for him. Because Mr. Cubison told us that God still loved him, and that this was the point in his life that Terrence was going to need God the most. This non-lesson was the one that stuck with me. That God is powerful in all situations. That God loves us no matter what we do. That there's nowhere that we can go and be without God's presence. Our God is great because no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter where we have come from, grace is offered to us. We are loved, and Christ is with us. No matter what sin or what hurt we bring, Christ can forgive us. This is good news. This is greatness. This is the passage and the love we can feel from this scripture. This is what we can know to be true. Because on those days that I know I've had, and you probably have had too, when you feel like you can't even make it a few minutes without messing up, Christ is here. Christ is forgiving. Christ is loving.